Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 287 to close at 24,700. S&P 500 down 11 at 2,762. NASDAQ Composite down 21 at 7,725. Russell 2000, small and mid-caps up just a fraction at 1,693. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 3 basis points at 2.89%. Oil up 7 cents at $65.14 per barrel. Gold down $3.50 at $12.75.40 an ounce. The Dow Industrial Average has now dropped for 6 consecutive sessions. It's the longest losing streak since March 2017. The Dow has now lost all gains for 2018. Small-cap Russell 2000 Index, whose components are more domestically focused than large-cap companies, edged up by just a fraction. The only groups in the broader market that were in positive territory were utilities, telecommunications, real estate, and consumer staples, all of which are seen as defensive groups. Materials and industrial stocks, both of which have an outsized impact to trade uncertainty, both tumbled right at 2%. Shares of Boeing, that's seen as a proxy for trade war tension with China, down 3.8%, weighing the most on the Dow. Construction equipment maker Caterpillar closely followed with a 3.6% drop. The declines weighed on the S&P Industrials Index. It was down 2.1%, its biggest one-day percentage drop in nearly 2 months. A trade dispute with China could easily slip into a trade war. Trump, of course, announced tariffs on up to $50 billion of Chinese goods. China said it would retaliate, and China has published a list of 659 U.S. products to be targeted, with tariffs on the first group of 105 to begin on July 6th, including soybeans, whiskey, orange juice, salmon, cigars, and automobiles. Moreover, China has scrapped the agreement Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross recently secured to lower their huge trade surplus with the U.S. by purchasing up to $70 billion of additional U.S. agricultural products, nat gas, and some other goods. So, this morning, Trump threatened to sharply escalate a trade conflict with China, asking his administration to identify $200 billion in imported goods from China to be penalized with tariffs. Trump directed U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer to identify $200 billion more in products for tariffs of 10%. Should China retaliate to those additional tariffs, and early indications are that they will, China's Commerce Ministry quickly responded to Trump's new tariff proposal, calling his practices blackmailing. Well, Trump then has promised to escalate even further by placing tariffs on another $200 billion in Chinese goods. Trump's tariff threats are already hurting the Chinese economy. On Tuesday, China's currency, the yuan, depreciated in value, and the Shanghai stock market plunged to its lowest numbers in 2 years. But China could actually benefit from a devalued currency. China also has a much longer economic outlook than the U.S., and they do not have midterm elections this year. Jacking up consumer prices ahead of an election probably won't play well in Peoria. The Chinese government has also been known to take official and unofficial steps to encourage its citizens and businesses to boycott foreign goods when trade disputes flare up. Trying to get American consumers to toe the line is like herding cats. For the U.S., we will be looking at a hit to GDP plus higher prices. We already see signs of strain in global supply chains, rising prices for crucial raw materials, stagnant shipments, and the possibility that the impact of these disputes on business confidence may well foreshadow larger economic disruptions. The imported products subject to 25% or higher tariffs will act like a tax on those products and the products into which they are incorporated, making them more expensive to U.S. consumers and producers. China can't go toe-to-toe with the U.S. in a widening tariff war because it simply doesn't buy enough stuff from America. Last year, China shipped $505 billion worth of goods to the U.S., but only imported $129 billion in American-made products. Even if Trump goes on to impose tariffs of $300 billion or even $400 billion on Chinese goods, Beijing could only levy duties on a total of about $100 billion-plus of U.S. products. To escalate the trade war, China would have to turn to non-tariff measures. China can hurt U.S. companies doing business there, and that list includes some big names: Boeing, Apple, Starbucks, A.O. Smith, Tiffany, Coach, many more. Tie them up in red tape. I'm sorry, but there's a problem with your license. They can also intensify inspections. If it takes 2 weeks to inspect agricultural products at Chinese ports, well, you might just as well turn the boat around. If this escalates and gets a bit out of control, China also has a couple of wild cards. It can just stop buying U.S. Treasury debt. China is the world's biggest treasury investor, keeping U.S. borrowing costs low, helping us buy more stuff from China. Ending this symbiotic relationship just when U.S. budget deficits are soaring could devastate the U.S. economy. And China has another wild card. They could just stop honoring U.S. intellectual property rights. Companies from Pfizer to Apple to Microsoft could see their products pirated around the world. Now, this would likely violate WTO rules, and it could backfire on China, but if they're backed into a corner, well, the point is that this could get real nasty real fast. Back in March, Trump tweeted that trade wars are good and easy to win. No, wrong. Trade wars can be devastating. Trump is moving from threats of trade sanctions to the reality of multiple simultaneous trade wars after imposing tariffs on steel and aluminum from the European Union, Canada, and Mexico, and another conflict involving possible U.S. economic sanctions against European companies over the U.S. withdrawal from the Iran nuclear agreement. The EU, Canada, and Mexico have all initiated WTO cases against the United States' protectionism. We're currently facing economic conflicts the likes and scale of which we have not seen in modern times. Adding yet another layer to trade tensions, the Senate late last night passed legislation to reinstate a ban on sales of U.S. components to ZTE Group, despite efforts by Trump to spare the Chinese telecommunications company. ZTE shares fell more than 25% in Hong Kong. And now, let me offer a somewhat contrarian point of view. Forget all about the trade wars. Imagine for a moment that there are no tariffs on Chinese goods coming to the U.S. or on American goods headed to China. Forget that there is a special place in hell for Justin Trudeau. Forget that there is an election in Mexico. Maybe Wall Street was just headed for a drop, despite all the trade bluster. Traders became overly optimistic, and when sentiment swings too far one way or the other, we see the markets adjust, or in this case, a bit of a correction. Trump administration today said it is withdrawing from the United Nations Human Rights Council. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley announced the U.S. withdrawal in an appearance at the State Department. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is releasing rules that would make it easier for small businesses and self-employed individuals to buy health insurance that does not comply with Obamacare's insurance regulations, another front in the White House's attempts to undermine the law. Association health plans, the subject of the new rules, do not have to follow the same rules as individual policies sold under Obamacare. meaning they're not required to cover all of the essential health benefits mandated by the Affordable Care Act, like maternity care. An important piece of the law's protections for people with pre-existing conditions. In economic news, housing starts ran at a seasonally adjusted annual 1.35 million annual rate in May. Permits were at a 1.3 million seasonally adjusted annual rate. Builders broke ground on more homes in May, a good signal about the health of the economy and the housing market. At a 1.35 million pace, housing starts saw the fastest activity since 2007. It was 5% higher than April and 20.3% higher than a year ago. One weak spot in the report, permits, which foreshadow future starts activity, down 4.6% for the month, still 8% higher than a year ago. After the closing bell, FedEx reported net income of $1.13 billion or $4.15 per share. Adjusted earnings of $5.91 beat per share analyst expectations of $5.70. Revenue of $17.3 billion came out slightly ahead of estimates. FedEx shares moved higher in extended trading. Oracle reported a better-than-expected quarterly profit and revenue as more customers move toward its high-margin cloud business. Oracle has cloud deals with AT&T and Bank of America. It's a late entrance to the cloud business, and it's been trying to catch up with rivals such as Amazon, Microsoft, and Salesforce. Shares of Oracle up as much as 3.7% in aftermarket trading. Starbucks issued a report card on itself. The results, not strong. Starbucks says global same-store sales rose 1% in the most recent quarter, slowing from a 2% growth rate in the preceding quarter. Sales may have been hampered by that incident in May that took place at a Starbucks in Philadelphia. The company looks to close 150 stores. Starbucks offered a consolation for investors, a 20% boost to dividends. And Walgreens Boots Alliance will replace General Electric in the Dow Industrial Average June 26th. GE was introduced to the Dow in 1896 and was a member continuously since 1907. Dow Jones Industrial Average today down 287 to finish at 24,700. S&P 500 down 11 at 2,762. NASDAQ Composite down 21 to finish at 7,725. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, text, audio, free podcast, and much more at eatthebankers.com.